The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
And some of us, my friends, know not only what we see when we're over there, but we know also what is prophesied. And we know what is prophesied to rise up in Europe. And we know which is the one and the only nation in Europe that is capable of dominating, and which is the economic and the industrial heart of all Europe, without which there could be no stability and strength. A human body cannot live without its heart. And the economic and the military body that is to rise up and to restore the Roman Empire, the thing that we least suspect here in the United States, it cannot rise up without its heart. And its heart is in Germany.
A classic there from Herbert Armstrong. He died in 1986. We're coming up to 40 years ago that he died. And then for 40, 50 years before that, this was his signature prophecy, the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, and the beating heart of that prophesied empire, as he said there, is Germany. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Lots to get to. It's a slow news cycle. I think the regime media is already off on their Christmas break. But we've got lots of content to get to today and really all through next week. We've got the end of the year montage. I think we've got a couple lined up for the end of the year. So that might even come as early as next week, maybe the week after. Let's see, when is January 1st? I'll have to look at my calendar, but it's coming up soon. We've got the guys in the control room working hard on some of those special videos for the end of the year. But as I say, before that, we've got some content that we have to get through because so much is happening. Germany is in turmoil. So is France. All of Europe is. The world in so many ways is exploding. Earth-shaking events, they're all around us. And so we're going to keep our eyes on it. And of course, you can look back to Herbert Armstrong. You can look to our booklet, He Was Right. You can study the United States and Britain in prophecy and understand the full significance of these many earth-shaking events that we're witnessing at this time. I told you yesterday about this issue. The January 2025, I got the new Royal Vision yesterday as well. Both of these issues are going to be more and more important going forward because they show us the significance of what's happening. They tell us what to look for. They really give God's church, his family, a laser-like focus as we bring to you, the viewing audience, the truth, the significance of world events as you view them under the light of Bible prophecy. Of course, you can get to this show. I didn't mention it yet, but you can get to this show every weekday morning at 11:05 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone of the United States. Just go to trumpetdaily.com or go to the Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. Join our growing audience. The email address, if you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, that would be td@thetrumpet.com. Here again is Herbert Armstrong. That last one you heard there, that was from, I think, the 1980s. This one here also, well, actually, it's more specifically from 1984. Here's clip 10.
And in the days of these kings, those toes which represent a nation to be formed, as I told you, in Europe when they go together. Now they're trying to form that now, and this economic crisis may be the thing that'll plunge them into it.
We'll talk here in just a moment about the economic crisis that Germany is facing at this time. Herbert Armstrong had been saying that the last few years of his life, that he felt like it would be an economic crisis that would trigger the final formation of this European Union. of course, we know there's been a union there for some time now. Even that was prophesied. He also prophesied that Britain wouldn't be a part of it. We saw that happen in 2016. You talk about earth-shaking events. Just look at the last 8 years. I mean, whether it's the return of Jeroboam or Britain on the outside of the European Union, or now the European Union just becoming more independent of the United States and that protective umbrella that the U.S. has provided since the end of World War II. And then, of course, Europe, headed by Germany, taking on a more militaristic approach as well, something that you couldn't have imagined in the years that followed World War II. And then a U.S. administration, the incoming Trump administration, no doubt, going it alone more and also encouraging. You can see a scenario where he would encourage a German strongman to come forward and to be more assertive. Why not? It just means it's less for the United States to do. It just means that America can focus on the problems at home. An economic crisis. It's not just coming. We're seeing it happen. We see it here in the United States. Of course, we're going to experience a resurgence for a time. But how Europe reacts to Vladimir Putin's push west there through Ukraine, to the re-emergence of Donald Trump, that's what we really want to be keeping our eyes on. Here's another one from 1982. This is clip 9.
Now, one of the great things that is urging Europe on, and perhaps the greatest thing that will cause them to hurry and get together on this, is their fear of what's going on in the Kremlin and the Soviet Union. They are losing confidence in the United States as having a military umbrella over them to protect them. And they want their own military force to protect themselves.
1982, really? That's a long time ago. The fear of Russia and then losing faith in America. That article, you know, after Trump's election, what, you know, watch Germany. There's a section in there about Zu Gutenberg. He's an individual we've had our eyes on for quite some time. But it shows just how much he hates Donald Trump. The end of that section, by the way, if I can just quote it, it says, well, before that, he's on this podcast. Gutenberg accused Trump of fueling an insurrection and said he has fascistic traits. That's the German Gutenberg saying that Trump is a fascist. We'll see how ridiculous that is when we even get to the regime media, which is now trying to win favor from Trump after they said he was Hitler 2 seconds ago. It shows how dishonest they were and are. I mean, here they lose an election. It's embarrassing for these Democrats and the Democrats in the media. And they can't help, even after an embarrassing loss, they can't help but to still reveal themselves as frauds, as the dishonest frauds that they are. How could you cozy up to Trump if he's Hitler? Well, it just shows they never believed it themselves. It was just scaremongering, kind of like the COVID scaremongering in 2020. It's the same spirit. They lie. I mean, and they amplify the lies. They shout them from the rooftops. And then they lose an election and, you know, Bill Maher says, well, you know, no big deal. You know, wake me up when it's over. He calls him a fascist, Gutenberg says. He said that some say this is someone who doesn't care about the Constitution at all, who basically only sees himself. There's Gutenberg falling for all the lies, or promoting them maybe. Maybe he knows they're lies. But here he is promoting this idea that Trump is a fascist, that Trump is an insurrectionist, that Trump is the one who's just in it for himself. Gutenberg certainly isn't. No other politician is. No. Just Trump. He's the problem. We'll talk later about Trump's rising popularity. Even when you have individuals like this now, still won't let it go. my father says here, could Germany's state of weakness, we'll look at that more closely here in a second, could Germany's state of weakness combined with Gutenberg's hatred of the blonde bully, that would be Trump, back in the White House prompt him to return to politics? I mean, I just told you yesterday, this week, Scholz's government collapses, and so they've got the election scheduled now for February. That's still a fair ways off. There's a lot that can happen between now and February 23rd. We want to keep our eyes opened. This is from The Guardian today. It says, Germany is in a sorry state, and all our leaders can do is yell at each other. Germany's in a sorry state. What happens when Germany descends into a sorry state politically, economically? Well, look out. Watch out for a strongman to appear. It says on Monday, Olaf Scholz, the German chancellor, and his challengers were hurling insults at each other in the hallowed halls of the Reichstag. It was the last day of Scholz's coalition government, and he lost the vote of confidence that he had called for, which means the country is headed for early federal elections. Normally, listen to this, normally such a vote is just a technicality required by the German Constitution. It's been used by social democrats and conservatives alike several times in the past to get two snap elections. But this time was different. We're seeing so many unprecedented things happening, not just in Germany, all over. This time it's different. During the debate, Scholz scolded the erstwhile coalition partners, the Free Democrats. They lacked the moral maturity. And then this article goes and talks about how all of these different parties, they're just hurling these insults at one another. I mean, this is something that doesn't typically happen in the German parliament. It says personal slurs of this type used to be out of bounds in Germany. But now German democracy is under unprecedented strain from inside and out. The loss of decorum in Monday's debate is proof of it. Here are some of the news reports that we've pulled together. If you could, you wish they'd put a little more energy into it, like Mr. Armstrong did when he talked about Bible prophecy. And as my father wrote in the latest Royal Vision, I mean, when it came to the subject of prophecy, you heard a bit of it in that cold open. Or in those other clips I played, where he's talking about the 10 toes of Daniel 2 and 10 kings in Revelation 17. And when he got into those subjects, I mean, he came alive. He got really excited. Now, you look at these talking heads, they don't really understand the significance of these developments, certainly not from a prophetic standpoint. But at the same time, you hear them, you read between the lines, and they know that this is pretty big news. They just don't see God behind it. They don't see what's happening from a prophetic standpoint. Here's our montage, clip 13.
So many, many concerns about Germany going forward. Is it now the sick man of Europe?
It looks like it. It's this weakness in the German economy is becoming chronic. The German economy is not in a slump, so it's not going down very quickly. It's not a classical crisis, but it's stagnating. It's been stagnating for a long time, and that's what we see.
There's a concern that then Germany is on the brink of big layoffs, and that this could come soon quite quickly, leading to a kind of spiral.
There are concerns about employment in manufacturing. That has been declining for some time, and now increasingly large companies are announcing layoff.
But when Christian Lindner, his finance minister from the Free Democrat Party, walked out of the coalition November the 6th, the same day that Trump was re-elected for a second term in America, the entire political landscape here has been a complete mess since then. The traffic light, so-called traffic light coalition of three parties, down to two, the Greens and the Social Democrats, can't get anything passed, can't do anything. I mean, everything's set in this sort of mud at the moment. They can't even pass a budget. And even if those elections are run on the 23rd of February, and if those elections result pretty swiftly in a new government, and it's going likely to be a coalition, there won't be a federal budget in Germany until July at the earliest. Now, that's not going to cause problems for pensioners and people like that getting their state money. It's going to cause problems for any German company or concern that receives money from the state, because they can only receive up to 45% of what's been pledged in the previous budget. So we're going to have a period of turmoil.
Germany was even more affected because it's a much more industrialized country. So industry in Germany right now is suffering a lot. Energy prices. Germany is really losing its momentum here, its industrial momentum. Recession in 24 and in 23 in Germany, one of the only countries, biggest countries in the world who has experienced recession.
Anymore. So there is a huge element of a lame duck, key nation here in Europe, neighboring, of course, France, which has its very own struggles with political stability. And the spotlight will potentially be on Italy, interestingly enough, when Donald Trump comes into office on the 20th of January and unveils what his plans are in Europe and what he no longer plans to do. So it was admitted also by the Vice Chancellor, the Green Trade Minister Habeck here in Parliament today, that this comes at a very bad point in time.
Again, don't let their more understated approach to broadcasting fool you into thinking that these are not significant events. Germany is in crisis. You saw it in the Reichstag yesterday, as The Guardian points out here. You listen to the words. You know, I'm all for a little more energy, but just listening to the words, the entire political landscape, it's a complete mess, one of the guys said. And so what happens when you see Putin to the east, when you see Trump to the west? What do you think they're doing in the heart of Europe, the beating heart of Europe? The people are ready for a strong man. The Guardian is ready for a strong man. And if that strong man ends up being the one that my father says we're watching in this latest Trumpet magazine, well, look at what he thinks about Trump. He's calling Trump a fascist. And as I say, the regime media here in the United States, they don't even believe that. They talked about it. I mean, they had democracy's on the line. You're not hearing that anymore. Trump's Hitler. He's a fascist. They were saying that here too. But you can see the way they're reacting to Trump's return. You can see they never did believe that. Jesse Waters had a pretty lengthy segment on that just last night. Listen to clip one.
I remember Michelle Obama saying if Trump won, women would suffer.
If we don't get this election right, your wife, your daughter, your mother, we as women will become collateral damage to your rage.
Trump's pretty much already president. So let's check in on Michelle.
Attention, everybody. Oh. We are full of joy today. So honored to have you, Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama's walking, we can't let her go. She's a classy lady, we just love her so. We got Michelle Obama.
Michelle Obama looks proud of her country again, which is weird because Biden's about to turn the White House over to Hitler. Everybody should be scared, right? At the Obama house, it's Christmas as usual.
There's Jesse exposing these people as frauds. Even the Obamas, they've been exposed, they've been silenced, and yet they're multimillionaires, worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And so the parties continue, the dancing continues, even after they experience a humiliating loss at the ballot box. They can't help but to reveal themselves. Listen again to Jesse from last night, clip two.
after the biggest election in the history of the country, her words, not mine, Michelle said, "Don't ask me about politics." Michelle's only allowed to be asked about her new book, her new Netflix show, and her new fruit juice brand. Not very Maha. Michelle's got to push product. It's the new golden age, remember? It's almost like she's saying life goes on. The whole democracy is on the line was just a line. Kamala Harris, same thing. She lost to a tyrant, and she's still laughing.
Good morning. Oh. You remember the context in which you exist. Yeah, I did that. Uh-huh. In the face of an obstacle, do we throw up our hands or do we roll up our sleeves? And as we approach...
She doesn't seem very worried that Trump's not in prison and he's about to take over the military.
Can you imagine four more years of Kamala? We'd probably have to condense this show to about 10 or 15 minutes instead of an hour, just to keep our blood pressure where it needs to be. Remember the context in which you exist. We would be treated to sound bites like that for 4 years. I think we'd have to redirect our focus. We'd have to concentrate on some other things. God intervened to save America. He did. He intervened. That's fulfilled prophecy now. For 4 years. You can see that in the first article, the miracle victory. And my father says how that for 4 years we've been saying this will happen, this will happen. Even when we said following 2020, when they rigged it and stole it, that he's going to remain in power. My father says, all right, I got that little tidbit wrong. But the very next month I came out and said, oh, the fake president's there, but Trump is coming back. Because prophecy, there's certain prophecies that hadn't been fully fulfilled yet. So it had to happen. And so the forecast was the same for 4 years. And you had all this fakery and phoniness along the way. A fake president. They covered for his dementia. Then finally threw him under the bus. Then they installed Kamala. No votes. Nobody voted. The regime tells us she's more popular than anyone we've seen. They lied all the way through. And all the way through, they said Trump was Hitler, as Jesse noted in his segment last night. It says here, I'm just seeing if I, yeah, maybe play this next one, clip three.
Bill Maher is also not losing any sleep over Trump.
Of course, the worst things could happen. Trump could get into office and blow up the world on day one. But, you know, I'm not going through the same spielkus I did last time.
Like, really?
Yeah. Like, when it happens, wake me. But I'm not giving my mind over to it again. And I'll see what happens. And one thing I've learned about the future is that we're very bad about predicting it. And whatever you think is probably likely to happen probably isn't going to happen.
Wait a second. The media said Trump was going to order SEAL Team 6 to assassinate journalists. And now the media is like, I'm going to sleep. Wake me up when they're outside the door. The journalists who thought they'd be dead in January were calling Trump for an interview.
The day after Donald Trump had that crazy rally at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Garbage. I rolled the dice and I called him on the phone. And he answered. I called him and said, I want an interview with you. Obviously, he said no. Mm-hmm. But my point is,
yeah,
I was able to get to him by dialing his phone.
She got straight through to the bad orange guy. She got straight through to Hitler and wanted the interview. And Hitler, for his part, said, no thanks. You're fake news. Listen to these people. After all that they've said, there's no remorse, there's no repentance. They just move on and say, hey, wake me up when it's over. I'm not going to get on the Trump derangement syndrome train this time around. Just looking at the bigger picture here, how prepared do you think we'll be? I'm talking about America. When this beating heart of Europe, when it gets its act together, when it comes through this crisis, when it puts its trust in a strong man, and then you've got all of these double crosses that God talks about in the Bible, Turkey with Israel, obviously Assyria with Israel as well. Do you think we're going to be prepared for it? Do you think that the regime media, or what was the regime media serving the dear leader for so long, do you think they're going to be sounding the alarm? They're going to be promoting it. They're going to be urging Germany and Europe to take a stronger position in the world. And then it turns on the United States. That's what's prophesied in the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. That's Herbert Armstrong's master text on Bible prophecy. If you don't have that book, make sure you call our operators today. It's been around since the 1930s. The 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. It was Herbert Armstrong's most popular book, and it's been around almost 100 years. And it's just as timely today, more so even, than it ever was decades ago. The United States and Britain in prophecy. Jesse noted last night that, you know, the legacy media, they're changing their tune because they've lost their audience. You listen to the first few minutes of Morning Joe, you know, they're going after Bobby Kennedy, and then they talk about how that Trump doesn't have a mandate because it was super duper close in Wisconsin. Okay. These people, what do they have left to talk about? Do you know how close the race was in Wisconsin? Now they're really concerned about bellwethers. They didn't care about it when they stole the election. And you analyzed the numbers that came in and said, yeah, this isn't right. Something's not right here. This isn't legit. They say, hey, you're an election denier. Keep your mouth shut or you're going to prison. They've lost what little audience they had. And now you turn it on and you just kind of chuckle the whole way through. Is this it? Wisconsin now? That's how you're explaining that Trump has to be resisted. And then you have these other articles. Where is the resistance? You got Tim Cook's going down to Mar-a-Lago, the Facebook guy, all these people, left-wing donors, Elon Musk, he's coming out against Mike Johnson today or yesterday saying, don't pass this bill, this continuing resolution that just spends billions and billions more to these Democrat causes. It's amazing. Still, some of these Republicans in Congress that won't show a backbone and say, no, we've had enough. Elon Musk is there saying, don't do it. Don't pass this. Let Trump get in there. Let Doge go to work. But they can't help themselves, these people. And they just gave themselves a raise, by the way. Congress, isn't that great? Right before they take off for the holidays. They all get a raise. You don't get a raise. You don't get tax cuts, at least not yet. But they help themselves to a raise. Isn't that convenient? Coming back to Germany, this Guardian piece. The most powerful country on the continent might be headed for a test more stark than anything since the reunification more than three decades ago. I mean, this is historic. The most powerful, there's your beating heart, right? Just like Mr. Armstrong said. And a crisis, a test, more stark than anything that's happened in three decades. It says, Germany is in a severe economic crisis caused by high energy prices and bad management decisions. You see, they need better decisions, just like we need in Washington. And they look at Washington, they see that Trump's there, they see Trump as a strong man, Gutenberg sees him as a fascist, and they think we need someone to counter that. We need someone to counter Putin. We need someone to get involved in Syria. We need someone to bring stability to the Middle East. The stage is set. That's the thing. And Mr. Armstrong said the economic crisis would be the trigger, the catalyst that would bring that German strongman to the fore. That's what we're anticipating. That's what's talked about in this latest issue of the Trumpet magazine. That's what we better be watchful for. It says here, Germany faces Trump's return to the White House without a government in place. You see, the people of Germany and really all of Europe, they're getting a little bit nervous. You mean we've got nothing in place until the end of February? Can we wait that long? These next couple of months are going to be really interesting to follow. It says, this is an unmitigated disaster considering the equally fragile situation in France, the second most important economy on the continent. It's happening in Germany, a severe crisis, and it's happening in France next door. It says, with Berlin and Paris going around in circles, Europe drifts leaderless while the future of the continent hangs in the balance. Some years ago, my father had a program on the Key of David where he talked about the empire in Europe that was just waiting for its emperor. And just like the alignment, the Psalm 83 alignment, you know, we were talking about it back in 2012, 13, thinking it would probably be, you know, a year or two away. And so it wasn't. It was 10, 12 years away. But it still happens. I mean, God's word is sure. And sometimes we have to wait. We wait in faith. That's a point my father makes, by the way, in the Psalms of David book, going through those beautiful verses in Psalm 119, where it talks about just how sure, how certain the word of God is. And how with man, I mean, there's always contingencies and, you know, well, maybe if this happens, then we'll go ahead and follow through with it. God's word is God's word. It's the same yesterday, today, forever. And he cannot lie. He's laid out the plan. He's given us the framework to look to. We can actually know tomorrow's news today. This is what got Herbert Armstrong so excited, anticipating these prophecies being fulfilled. And then, of course, he didn't live long enough to see so many of them actually come to fulfillment. That's where we are right now. We're seeing it happen. It says here, Europe drifts leaderless while the future of the continent hangs in the balance. This is pretty significant, what we're seeing. The future of Europe, it's hanging in the balance. You've got Trump on the one side promising to hit Germany with tariffs. He's threatened to pull the U.S. out of NATO and has vowed to bring peace to Ukraine within 24 hours of taking office. This article says, will European leaders be bystanders while the U.S. president forces an unjust and unsustainable peace in Ukraine? Never was there more need for a unified European position than in the face of these challenges. Never has the prospect seemed more elusive. They see the need, The Guardian, this author, and yet they say it's elusive. I mean, how can we break through? How can we get past the bureaucracy, the infighting, the division, the strife in parliaments all across Europe? Well, the strong man is the answer, and he's prophesied in Daniel 8 and Daniel 11. And he's going to be a king of fierce countenance. Someone that comes in and says, well, that bad orange man, he's a fascist. He's an insurrectionist. He's self-serving. We've heard all that before. And even the regime media here in the United States now has exposed themselves. We never did believe that. Come on. We knew he wasn't Hitler. Is this God's world? Just to step back even further. What does your Bible say? 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says that Satan is the god of this world. This world is deceived. The Guardian says here, many Germans, as notoriously thrifty as they are, have accepted that reality. Decades of underspending. We've got to spend more on military, on defense. Decades of underspending have caused a rotten infrastructure that needs to be urgently modernized. And it talks about military spending in this article as well. We need an infrastructure. We need to spend more money. We need to build up the empire. It doesn't say that, but that's where they're going. The spirit of Charlemagne is alive in Europe. It's being resurrected. There's seven resurrections of the Holy Roman Empire. We're about to see the final one. Listen to Herbert Armstrong from 1983, clip 11.
This world is right now in the first stages of the crisis at the close of this age, or of this whole world, this present world. And another better world is coming. Right now, everything is stepping up. God has delayed certain events, but he says that he will make a short work and cut it short suddenly. Jesus gave us the expression of how it'll come when it is least expected. And like a rat getting caught in a trap that snaps when it didn't even know it until it was caught. And that's how suddenly things are going to happen very, very soon. How much longer God will delay before he does that, I don't know. But there's every reason why I can sense that we're coming very, very close to that time. Europe is reuniting. And when it is reunited, our work will be finished. And that will lead fairly quickly into the second coming of Christ in the world tomorrow.
Now, again, he alludes to a little bit of a delay there, and he didn't live long enough to see what we see today. And at the time he made that statement, 1983, I mean, Europe was still divided. The wall didn't come down until 1989. The Soviet Union didn't collapse until the early 1990s. And after that, I mean, you've seen step by step by step by step, European unification. Now, Daniel 2 says it's a mixture of iron, steel-like, war-like iron, and miry clay. It's hard to bring all these different cultures and languages together. What does it take? It's just going to come together for a short time. And what does it take to bring them together to where the iron-like strength really is accentuated? It takes a crisis. It takes multiple crises. And that's what we're seeing. Just imagine the energy, the tone of, for those of you that remember Herbert Armstrong, just imagine what he would be saying today if he were here with us. He would be telling you the significance. He would be raising his voice. He might even be screaming a little bit. He alluded to the scriptures that say it's going to happen suddenly, and it's going to happen at a time. And keep this in mind when you think about the Trump resurgence happening in America, when you think about things settling down in Ukraine, when you think about more stability in the Middle East in the short run, when you think about the ambassadors for peace saying, peace! We have peace! Then know that it's all going to come crashing down suddenly. Are you ready for it? Are you prepared for it? It's exciting, really, because it shows us just how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. This is from an article way back in 1953. Mr. Armstrong, the same one you just heard there, he says, the nations of Europe directly in the very shadow of the great Soviet menace are disturbed, afraid, distrustful of America fearfully anxious for a united Europe, yet too suspicious of one another to affect it unless or until a supreme authority shall appear, trusted by all, and with power and leadership to unite so many nations possessing so many rival aspirations and conflicting interests. That's what you have in Europe. These nations that possess all these rival aspirations, all of these conflicting interests. How are you going to bring them together as a military force? How are you going to join them together? It's going to take a strong man. That's how. The peoples of Europe as a whole want such a united Europe, but they will never permit America or Britain to bring it about. He said this in 1953. Britain wasn't even on the outside looking in at that point. At that point, it looked very much like Britain wanted to be a part of some kind of European alliance. Germany is the economic and military heart of Europe. Without Germany, such a federation of nations is impossible. Well, you heard that basically in the cold open there with Mr. Armstrong's clip. The beating heart of Europe. It says, yet the other nations of Europe will not trust Germany or a German leader. Still, in spite of this, it is probable that none but a German can provide the dynamic, inspired leadership required to organize such a political military federation. We're going to be bringing you this quote again sometime soon. When it happens, when he emerges out of the heart of Europe, just know where you heard it first. 1953, that's over 70 years ago. What a forecast, particularly when you consider where we are at the moment. You can look at our booklet, our brochure, He Was Right, and see so much more on this signature prophecy of Herbert Armstrong about the formation of the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, and of course, the strong, headed up by a strong man, a prophesied strong man, described in Daniel 8 and Daniel 11. As I've been saying in recent programs, I mean, what we're seeing, not just in Germany, not just in Europe, what we're seeing all over the world is a dramatic realignment. God is shaking this world, whether the world realizes it or not. We are seeing earth-shaking events all around. And we're just fresh off the significance of Bashar Assad's demise in Syria just last week. Unbelievable. Head spinning, really. Yesterday, Bibi Netanyahu, he's on the Golan Heights. Mount Hermon in Syria. He's giving a speech in southern Syria. This is from the Associated Press. Bibi Netanyahu said Tuesday that Israeli forces will stay in a buffer zone on the Syrian border, seized after the ouster of Syrian President Bashar Assad, until another arrangement is in place that ensures Israel's security. Israel has secured a buffer zone in southern Syria, and it's not even really generating any headlines. There's just so much else going on. I mean, even the Western media, which generally speaking, would be outraged by this. You'd be hearing from the UN. You'd be hearing from The Guardian. You'd be hearing from Morning Joe. Who does Israel think they are to just waltz into Syria to help itself to Syria's sovereign territory? And Bibi says, hey, we need it for our security. In comes out, you know, out goes Assad, in comes Al-Qaeda. This article says here, Netanyahu made the comments from the summit of Mount Hermon, the highest point or highest peak in the area inside Syria, about 10 kilometers from the border with the Israel-held Golan Heights. It appeared to be the first time a sitting Israeli leader had set foot that far into Syria. Netanyahu said he had been on the same mountaintop 53 years ago as a soldier but the summit's importance to Israel's security has only increased given recent events. Netanyahu, he's there 53 years ago as a soldier, and yesterday he makes his triumphant return as prime minister. And this after a grueling, a savage 13-14 year civil war that within a matter of weeks brought down, just the last 2 weeks, for something that was dragging on seemingly indefinitely. Then following the election of Trump, that certainly factored into it, as this article brings out. Also the weakness of Iran, exposed by Israel's advance against Hamas, Hezbollah, and so on. And we see these swift, dramatic, massively significant changes, developments, earth-shaking developments in just a matter of days. Days. Israel seized a swath of southern Syria along the border with the Israeli annexed Golan Heights days after Assad was ousted by rebels last week. And then, this is the same article, Associated Press. It says, Germany, we've talked to you about how Germany is going to insert itself into Syria, into the Middle East, into that Psalm 83 alliance. It's all discussed. It's all laid out there in detail in Psalm 83. Germany said Tuesday that its diplomats had also met with insurgent leaders to discuss Syria's political transition and our expectations regarding the protection of minorities and women's rights. So here's the German officials meeting with the Al-Qaeda officials in Syria. It says German officials who have noted the rebel group's history of links to Al-Qaeda said that they will measure the group and the new government based on its actions. So there's Germany. I mean, typically you've got to go over to GermanForeignPolicy.com just to find anything about Germany's involvement with what's happening in Syria. Here's the Associated Press now. Look for Germany to insert itself as the main player in the Middle East in opposition to the Islamic State of Iran, to the King of the South. It's all building to that explosion discussed there in Daniel 11 and verse 40. King of the South pushing at the King of the North. The King of the North coming against the King of the South like a whirlwind. This is from unheard.com. It says, reshaped seems to be the current word of choice for describing the Middle East. It is undoubtedly true that with Hamas all but decimated, Hezbollah irreparably crippled, and Bashar Assad gone, the region has witnessed a level of change not seen since the Arab Spring. You're seeing phrases like that a lot in some of the news coverage. And again, they're just like those dry, pedantic talking heads talking about the German crisis. They don't understand the true significance of what's playing out. But you read over and again, we haven't seen this since, you know, and then go back decades. These are the times we're living in. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 that in the last days, we would come into dangerous and perilous times. These are the times that we're in. These perilous events are not going to just go away on January 20th because America has a new president. We've got to step back and look at the bigger picture here. Unheard says, the two main beneficiaries of this great reshaping are Israel and Turkey. Israel has proved its superior military and intelligence capabilities, occupying a small buffer zone in Syria and establishing military dominance in Gaza. What's more, it has intelligence-enabled influence and freedom to operate in both Lebanon and much of Syria. Not bad for a country of fewer than 10 million people. I mean, these are some pretty dramatic developments, mostly just since October 7 of last year. All of this happening under the fake president's watch, under Joe Obama's watch. The Ukraine war, the explosion of violence in Israel on October 7, and then everything we've seen since. this was hilarious to me, the NSA guy, Jake Sullivan, as he talks about, it reminded me of Obama, you know, when he talked about just how peaceful and tranquil the world was under his first two terms. Even as the world's going up in flames, kind of like the reporter in Minneapolis. Yeah, it's mostly peaceful around here as the building behind him in the camera shot is going up in flames. Oh, okay. Listen to clip six.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Joe. If you just take a step back and you look at what's happened to both Russia and Iran, they have gotten a huge black eye out of Syria. They were supposed to back their guy Assad, keep him in power, and now Russia and Iran are both on the run. Why? It's because they've both been weakened and distracted by events elsewhere. Iran weakened by the military campaign that Israel waged against Hezbollah and directly against Iran with the backing of the United States. Russia weakened and distracted by the fact that the Ukrainians are putting up a very tough fight against them. So now they've lost their main proxy in the Middle East, and they may lose their military bases. They're already being moved out of the airfield, and the question of whether they sustain a naval presence in the Eastern Mediterranean is in doubt. So as things stand today, as we hand off to the next administration, our friends, our allies are in a stronger position, and our enemies are weaker.
Right. There's Obama's guy saying that, hey, we did a great job. This has been a four-year train wreck in slow motion. Our friends are doing great. Yeah, our enemies, they've taken a step back. No, you actually contributed in a mighty way to this dumpster fire that we see everywhere. In Syria, in the Middle East, in Ukraine. I mean, it's true that Russia and Iran here, just by the events of the last few weeks, have been weakened. But these people have no clue. It was this way all through the Obama years. And again, Trump coming in, you know there's going to be, you know things are going to settle. There's going to be some stability. It'll look that way for a time. But we know better. Students of Bible prophecy know better that we're drawing very near to the end of this age. We're getting very close to the return of Jesus Christ. That's why Christ just laid it all out there in Matthew 24, because his disciples were curious. They came to him and said, Master, tell us when the end of this age will be. How are we going to know? What should we anticipate? And you can go all the way through that Olivet prophecy. You can put it together with the four horsemen prophecy in Revelation 6. You can bring 2 Timothy 3 into it. I mean, all the signs, these are neon lights all around what we're seeing. And just like my father said in the latest Royal Vision, I mean, when the subject of fulfilled prophecy comes up, that should light us up, spiritually speaking. That should really fill our hearts with joy. As we know, we're close. We're so close. We can't let the devil trip us up. Not this late in the game. Not when we're this close to the finish line. Not when we're this close to the marriage between Christ and the church. Not when we're this close to the end of this age and the beginning of God's age, the beginning of God's civilization, the beginning of God's world on this earth. If you don't have the U.S. and Britain in prophecy, as I say, it's a must read. I mean, it gives you the general framework of all Bible prophecy. I was going to get into a section of it about Turkey's betrayal of Israel. That's in the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. But I'll have to, since we're about out of time, I'll have to leave it to you to become a student yourself of Bible prophecy and to start with Mr. Armstrong's book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.